right. Very true. We have a number of folks in our church that I believe have a strong sense of the gift of service, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Thanks for being here today. Like I said, the flu season's here. We got some message from the Zolkas. If you don't know the Zolkas, we started the church in their home in Summers almost 17 years ago. And they're down with the flu bug. And of course, if somebody has a flu bug, we encourage them not to come to church. So not to share the germs and everything. But we're glad that you're here. And we had a good start to the series last week, or 2 weeks ago, the introduction. And then last week, we talked about the gift of prophecy. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen online. Because it will help for you to grasp the entire concept of these gifts. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, everybody here has talents and abilities, and most of the time we find out what our talents and abilities are by exercising them. I remember back in 1978, I think it was, when I was entering to the ministry, and I had never spoken before, and so my brother, who pastored at that time in Fostoria, Ohio, invited me to come and speak on New Year's Eve, and he says, "Listen, I'm going to give you, a certain amount of time on New Year's Eve, and if you get lost or you get stuck and you can't finish or you only go about 8 minutes, I'll come up and finish it up. Don't worry about it." I spoke for 45 minutes that night. He finally had to shut me down. So I learned real quick I have the gift of gab, and I've always said I'm not as at ease on one-on-one with people. I'm not a phone talker. I'm not a one-on-one person. My wife and I, we always talk about the fact that I'm more of an introvert than I am an extrovert, although I compensate for it. I like my alone time, but speaking in front of people has never been a difficult thing for me. When I sing with the group here, sometimes that's a little nerve-wracking. I don't like to solo sing it, but I like singing with the group because these folks make you look good. Don't they sound good, by the way? Yeah, they do. So you got these two wonderful voices of the female here, Sarah and Liz, and of course, then you got Tom in the middle that just kind of compensates for what he can do, And I love that last song. I really do, and enjoy the music so much. And we have a number of folks that are out that are part of our music team. The Burns family, George Burns lost his mother this week, and then Amy and them lost another relative this week. So they had funerals yesterday and today, and they have one tomorrow, all in 1 week, and so that's why they're not here. So we pray for them, and just so many other things going on and illnesses that are out there. But we started this series, and so last week, the gift of prophecy, and if you think you may have that, you might want to listen, and like I said, everybody here has talents and gifts and abilities, and we can identify those. In fact, we know what we're good at, we know what we're bad at. I always tell folks to work their strengths and delegate their weaknesses, so we do here quite a bit. There are certain things that I just don't do because I'm that good at it, and I have no problem admitting that. A lot of folks you have to understand that the human makeup, what we live in, is physical, is intellectual, it's emotional, but also it's spiritual. And so many people don't understand that there's a spiritual side of operation, and there are gifts that are talked about in the scriptures that when you identify them as what motivates you, it helps you to understand how your talents and your abilities and your opportunities all fall in line with the gifts that you were given. And so this is what we've been teaching for the last couple weeks, and we got about 5 more weeks to go before we're done. Today we're going to talk about the gift of service, and to me this is a vital gift for the ministry, but it's also a vital gift for any organization. Before I get started in the opening, let's do the opening scripture first of all, where we start off. Romans chapter number 2, verse 3 through 8. We'll start there, as we're going to do each week. "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, which we talked about last week, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it with diligence. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so this is where the premise we get for the whole series here is Paul's teaching, St. Paul's teaching on these gifts. And he was bringing this up, by the way, because he thought it was important to explain. The church he was dealing with was having some division. And the church he was talking to when he was writing these group of Christian people, they were having some little bit of backbiting, a little bit of division, a little bit of not getting along, not understanding each other. And so he started teaching how that we have these grace gifts, these motivational gifts that make us all different. You know, every organization I've been a part of has usually been dismantled because people didn't tolerate other people. I don't care what it is. And usually because they have a misunderstanding or a not of understanding. And I'm a member of different organizations. They're secular and of course, spiritual organizations and religious organizations. And I've come to find out that most of the time, it's misunderstandings. People sometimes call it personality conflicts, but a lot of times, it's their gifts. And in the organization, there are people like the gift of prophecy that are just stone hard. This is right, this is wrong, this is white, this is black, this is not gray. Everything has to be this way. In fact, I saw somebody wrote a post this week kind of giving a charge and critiquing society in general. And everything I'm reading this post on Facebook for this individual, I could tell you right now, it screamed prophecy. Because it was so opinionated, I couldn't finish reading it because I'm getting irritated because I'm thinking to myself, that's going to turn people off from Christianity. And so, to me, that's how you understand these things. And these gifts fall in line with our abilities and our talents. And today is service, and this is such a vital gift. There is no greater gift than the others. If you have the gift of leadership or ruling or organization, it's one gift there we're going to talk about in a few weeks. It doesn't mean you're better because you get to be maybe in the limelight than somebody with the gift of service, as a video that Lisa chose that shows they like sometimes to be in the background with lacking of the recognition. But no organization, and especially a church, can survive without those that have a strong gift of service. We have all these gifts, but there are those that have a dominant gift of the gift of service. And this church cannot survive without that. There are people here that I believe have the strong gift of service that simply love doing the things that make the opportunity for me and Sarah and the Tony and the rest of the praise team to do what we do. And I'm so thankful for that because, you know, I know that by the time I roll out of bed in the morning, there are folks that are already heading over here. And they're setting up and they're doing these things. And sometimes they don't get the recognition they deserve. But here's the thing. I could not stand here and do what we do. And yes, we do church differently than a lot of churches. We have the technology and the stage. I'm so thankful for the folks in our tech ministry that are always creative and everything. The thing is that people get here quietly on Sunday morning, and sometimes it gets frustrating. Sometimes things don't work. Anytime you have to work with electronics, you're going to be frustrated. Just remember the DVRs, trying to figure those stinking things out, okay? And so to me, I'm so thankful for those who have the gift of service that come in, and even with all the frustration, they feel rewarded because by the time 10 o'clock comes and the countdown clock is finished and people are up here singing and folks are being encouraged and kids are liking to come to church because they love the music and they love their classes, they have done something wonderful because they've served, but a lot of times you don't know who they are. That's why a few weeks ago we recognized all our volunteers, because it's so important to realize that I get the blessing of getting up here to speak and the praise team to sing and all those things there, but these folks made it happen, and I want to say thank you to them. We're going to talk today, and each week we talked about there are characters in the Bible that identify with each gift. Last week we talked about Peter, the Apostle Peter, some call him Saint Peter, obviously, and how that he had a strong a focus on corrective actions, speaking his mind, putting his foot in his mouth, but he always had something to say, and it was either right or wrong. It was either this way and not that way, and we talked about him last week, and if you didn't get a chance to be here, listen to that online at cornerstonect.com. Today we're going to talk about Timothy. Timothy was a protege of the Apostle Paul, St. Paul. He ended up being pastor of a couple churches, but he was the preacher boy kind of thing that Paul developed. And where the Apostle Paul has the gift of exhortation, you know, and encouragement in a different gift, Timothy had the gift of service. Although they had eventually the same role, they both carried out, both being spiritual leaders of congregations or groups, Timothy was motivated by serving others. And most of the work that he did, beginning before he began to minister in his own right, was serving the needs of Paul. And he was the individual that Paul, when he was in need of anything, and I'm talking about the physical needs and the personal needs and those things there, and the person he counted on to be able to be there to make sure that Paul could do his work in speaking and evangelism, he called about Timothy, because Timothy was that person that basically worked himself even to the point that he got sick a lot, and some believe he got ulcers because he was so concerned with doing a good job and providing the help, not looking for the limelight, that he actually got sick to his stomach. In fact, there's one scripture where Paul tells Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. And some believe that that was to soothe the ulcers and that was to soothe the nerves that he was going through because he wanted to perform so well. And so I believe that Timothy is a great example of someone with the gift of service. And here's the thing I want you to get. Sometimes people think, I want to have the gift of organizational leadership. I want to be the leader. I want to have the gift of giving, because if you've got the gift of giving, obviously you're probably going to have some money to give. And kind of like that idea, you know. Some want to have the gift of prophecy because they just love just saying the way it is, okay? And some want to have the gift of exhortation because they just like the motivational speakers and the encouragers and those that can make other folks understand principles and grow and enjoy doing it. I've been raised in church, and I've been in church that are just totally boring. I've been in churches where the speaker will speak way over my head. My father, God bless him, because he is a great speaker, but the man can read Hebrew and Greek fluently, and sometimes when he starts speaking, he starts going way over here, and I'm way down here, and sometimes I lose it a little bit here. So to me, my gift, I like being able to see the motivation. Timothy had the gift of service. And let me point this out in some scriptures before I get into the actual lessons as we set the pattern last week, okay? We're first going to read in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 1 through 5, and then we're going to go through these other passages here. Let's start with 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, and Paul is writing these things here, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. Those are the three facets of preaching of every preacher, is to correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their eyes away, or their ears away from the truth and turn aside the myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And this is Paul's charge to this young man, Timothy, as he enters ministry. We're going to jump down to the verse number 9 and go through 9:22. And look how he discusses this idea and how he sees Timothy as a minister. And see if you don't notice the fact that he looks upon him as someone that will help him in physical needs and in personal needs, as well as spiritual needs, carrying out his gift of service, doing things for the Apostle Paul. It says, do your best to come to me quickly. It says, for Demas, because he loved the world, had deserted me and has gone back to Thessalonica, Cretans, and he has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in the ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus of Troas. Notice this. He says, here's a physical request from you. My scrolls, especially my parchments, bring these things to you. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against him. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength, so through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and attack and bring me safely to the heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila of the household of Onesiphorus and Erastus stayed in Corinth. And I left Tromas sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so does Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with you. Your spirit, grace be with you. And then one last scripture I want to read here is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So when Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying out the work of the Lord. I love that. And that word work there has to deal with service, the service of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. It's interesting here that the one person that Paul, and part of this is Paul has already, you know, been in trouble. He's been arrested a few times. And he's in his older age now. And so when he decides to look upon somebody to request to help with some personal and physical needs, he turns to Timothy. Now, Timothy in his own right is a minister. He's a preacher. He ends up being a pastor. But in all reality, when Paul is now requesting to have his books brought and his parchment brought and his cloak brought and his personal needs, he turns to somebody that has had the habit of doing the physical support so that the spiritual ministry could be carried on. And in the secular world, with this gift, that's the person, basically, and we all have those people, especially if you're in a leadership role, those people that do the work, and sometimes they make us look increasingly well, amazingly well, because they do things behind the scenes, and they're happy to do it because they want the person they're supporting to succeed. And if you're looking in an organization for folks to have behind you, those are the ones to look for. Because with that spiritual gift, they're going to get the job done. They're going to exhaust even their health to make sure it's accomplished. Because their greatest joy is going to be to see that those that carry out the open word and do the other things and succeed in what other leadership positions are supported. And I really believe that this is the backbone of, in my personal opinion, of all the gifts. No one gift is more important than the other ones. I'll show that over the next few weeks. But I really believe, especially a church like we are, which is a setup church week by week, you know, we keep praying for a permanent place to rent so we can be there 7 days a week and leave things set up, and we're looking at those things, and we'd like to leverage ourselves for that. But I'm so thankful for those folks that come and do this each and every week, and those that stay and help take down, because believe it or not, you are investing in something bigger than yourselves. And anybody with a gift of service in any organization, spiritual or secular, is feeling like I'm serving behind the scenes to make this organization, this person, this movement extremely successful. And that's a wonderful gift, and we could not survive in any organization without them. Let me give you some of the characteristics of the gift, and as we did last week, there's a number of them. We're first going to talk about the characteristics of the gift of service, and then we're going to talk about how they may be misunderstood, and then we're going to talk about how they are when they're in the Spirit, and what we mean that, as they're following God's Spirit, they're trying to do things for God, and sometimes what happens when they get in the flesh, and what we mean by that is they get beside themselves, sometimes they get into a pity party, sometimes they lose focus, you know, just like anybody else, they can be working hard and eventually get disillusioned about what's happening, and all of a sudden they can become very, very hurtful to the organization they're in. But let's first talk about the characteristics of the gift of service, and we're going to move along quick, and if you're new with us, once again, this is not the normal way I speak. I don't usually have this much information. Usually it's more motivational, but this is a teaching series, and I'm hoping it's helpful. Okay, so characteristics of gifts of service. First of all, they detect the needs and try to meet them. Very simple. They are very open to see what is out there, and they're observant, and they listen. And if they're in a group with somebody leading the group and the person's talking about a void in the organization, they're the one who detects the need and they want to meet them. Second of all, they receive joy in serving others when it frees them up to do their ministry. They feel fulfilled in whatever organization they're in, especially the church, is when they know that they have done something to free those up that may have the more prominent role of speaking, singing, or whatever. They feel very successful, very fulfilled when they serve, when it frees somebody up to do what they're doing. They may disregard their well-being to assist others. One thing about Timothy that I've learned is the fact that he had physical ailments, and many theologians believe that his physical ailments were due to stress, disappointment, discouragement, that he was nervous. You know, when Paul says to the other people when he gets here, you know, don't be hard on him. And the reason why I think he was saying that is because Timothy wasn't the outgoing personality that others were, and he could be taken advantage of. And he would sometimes disregard his own well-being and health to make sure he assists other people. Number four, need of affirmation that their services are of value. Doesn't mean they need a public pat on the back, doesn't mean they need big recognition, but they need to know that what they have done means something. And here's why. Because in the gift of service, they can go through the routine of constantly doing the work, constantly behind the scenes. And they're not looking for public recognition, but they're not looking for just that pat on the back. They want to know they weren't wasting their time in your time. They want to know, and that's why, I mean, I do it generally overall, acknowledging our volunteers and our ministry partners, but they want to know that by setting up the chairs and putting out the tables and making the coffee means something of value to what we're doing, and it does. Because they don't want to waste their time. They want to serve somewhere that's making a difference. And so the needs of affirmation, when I say affirmation, they just need to know that this was beneficial to the cause. Number five, they desire to be with the people and acts of they desire to be with people and acts on immediate needs that are disclosed. The characteristics, they want to be around people because they want to know what's going on. They want to be able to see the immediate need, and they want to act upon it. They're not a social butterfly, but what they are, they're somebody that basically wants to be part of the group. Number six, better at short-range projects than they are at long-range projects. There's a teaching I've done before about how people operate when it comes to their life. There are some people that are better at short tasks and some that are better at long-range planning. There are some people that prepare in short and some that prepare in long term. What I mean by that, my wife will tell you, is that a lot of times when I prepare to speak, it's usually I prepare everything on Monday, send it out for PowerPoint and the creative team, but usually I don't look at it again until Saturday afternoon because I'm better at knowing how I'm going to speak, and my Sunday morning prep is probably most important because I have this short-term ability. If you were to ask me 5 weeks ago what I spoke on, I could not tell you. I don't have that memory to remember those things. And so to me, it's all about our gifts because I'm moving on to the next things. But some of the gifts of service are better at short-range projects than they are at long-range projects, which means they're task-oriented, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are folks that should have the long-range teaching. They should be able to give you the direction long-term. But there are folks that it's better to say, here are three things we need to accomplish this week, and they're better because, once again, with the gift of service, they want to know they complete it successfully. Now, if you're an employer and you got people working, or if you're a leader and you have volunteers working for you, there are people that need to be given short tasks, and then they need to know they accomplished it before they move on to the next one. And sometimes it's helpful when you tell them, you've accomplished a task, and I'm so appreciative of that. And so it's important to understand that characteristic. Number seven, they may feel inadequate for spiritual leader. I met a number of people that felt that only the people that have the gift of exhortation, prophecy, and ruling or leadership can lead any organization. Remember, these gifts are not about what you do. It's what motivates you to do what you do. There are some tremendous pastors, there's some tremendous leaders in our country that I believe have the gift of service. And they lead, but they lead with the motivation of taking care of the needs of others. By the way, let's talk about the realm of public service. The reason why some people, whatever part of they're of, approach things in a different way is many times because of their spiritual gift. I love Jimmy Carter, and I wasn't thrilled with his presidency. I became a voting age during that time. But I think that he has definitely shown that he has the gift of service, because here's a leader that basically is spending his entire life at Habitat with Humanity, and he's motivated to make a difference using his leadership to serve others. And you can begin to see the identifiable marks in different leaders about how they lead. And so to me is sometimes they feel inadequate to lead because they think gift of service means behind the scenes. But there's some great spiritual leaders and secular leaders that I believe have this gift of service that lead great. And then the last one here can be the go-to person to get things done. And when you if you're a leader of organization and you understand the spiritual makeup, and remember, everybody in your group has talents, abilities, they have physical abilities, they have intellectual abilities, they have emotional abilities, but they also have spiritual abilities. And when you recognize this, you know who to go to accomplish something. And so many times, you're more effective as a leader when you identify where people are approaching things from. So now let's go into the misunderstandings. And I said last week, these are vitally important. Because the reason why I'm doing this series is so that not only you can know your gifts, and we can help identify them after the seven-week series is over. You may catch it already. And you have all the gifts, but one will dominate. Is the misunderstandings are vitally needed to be understood for this reason. One of the reasons why we talk about the gifts and these things here is simply this. Is we sometimes get into friction with other people because we don't understand them. Sometimes we call it personality conflicts when what it is, it's a contrasting spiritual gift or a not understanding a spiritual gift of where they're coming from. When I had the hardest time with certain people that were so dogmatic they came off as mean. I believe in good, firm preaching, but there were some preachers out there who were just downright mean. When I learned that about the gifts and I realized they may have the gift of prophecy, I gave a little more tolerance to them because they're needed. There are people out there that need to stand for right and wrong and be pointed out, and sometimes they get a little offensive. And there's people like me that are not that type. That's not where I come from. But I learned how to be actually thrilled that they're out there and appreciate them because that's how God designed them. And God didn't design me that way, and God didn't design them like me, and we're all needed here. And these misunderstandings, understanding them are so helpful to get along with other people. Misunderstanding number one, the quickness to meet needs may appear to be as pushy. They may want to do everything themselves, and sometimes when they see a need, they will jump to it, sometimes before anybody else even get near it. Second of all, they may exclude and refuse help from others. Some of the gift of service is I'll get it done, leave me alone, I'll take care of it. Some of the gift of service may appear frustrated by others' lack of service. And here's what's key. If you have the gift of service and you're doing the physical work in this organization or any organization, there's going to come a time, if you don't keep your composure, that you're going to be frustrated because not everybody's joining in doing the same thing. They're all not helping. They're all not working with their hands, whatever it may be. And they will quickly become to a point to where they may be frustrated by other people that are not doing the work. And that's where the misunderstanding comes, because they may get to the point to understand that not everybody is motivated to do the same thing. There are some folks that are motivated to get here and they love the setup and stuff, but they don't want any acknowledgement, but there are other folks that don't feel that. And that's important. So, number four, may seem as serving to be noticed by other people. They may sometimes look upon some may misunderstand saying, the reason why you're always there doing stuff because you want everybody to know you're doing it. And that's not what motivates them. They're there because they want to accomplish a task so that those that are doing other things are freed up to do that. Number five, may disregard their own needs to meet needs of others. And I've seen this so many times before, where people with the gift of service will work themselves into a frenzy to make sure that they're meeting somebody else's need. You ever see that person that somebody puts on the loop or puts on a Facebook page that there is a dear person out there that a senior citizen or elderly that snow came and they can't clear off their walks, and this person, even though they probably have 102 temperature, they haven't slept much, will get in their truck and go over and clear that walk. Let me tell you something, that's that person there, because they're disregarding their needs to make sure other needs are met. Number six, may be easily burned out. And I've seen this because they're workers. They can be easily hurt. And I've seen this with the emotions of those with the gift of service. Number eight, quickness in meeting needs may interfere with somebody else's spiritual lessons. Someone else is being taught. And here is a key one here. We all want to help everybody going through a crisis and something that they're dealing with. But sometimes somebody with a gift of service, okay, let me give you a case in point. Sometimes people see something out there, social media or email loop or whatever, that somebody is struggling going through something. And maybe I have been dealing with that person, and my gift of exhortation says, you know something? This is the third time they've gone through it, and some of it's self-inflicted. And so, although the nature of the Christian nature is to solve the problem, give the money, help the person, eliminate the pressure, I may come to the discernment as a gift of exhortation that this is a teaching lesson for them, and that rescuing them too fast may get them to depend upon everybody else and always wait for somebody to save them instead of waiting for God to do it or doing it themselves. Someone with the gift of service, when they see a need out there, and I've had it so often, I've had people call me or email me saying, did you see so-and-so is going through this? Can we do something as a church? And most of the time, I would say yes. I mean, Kelly, who heads up our outreach, I think 99% of the time, we do stuff for people, and our trustees step up. We help people behind the scenes you don't know about, in the church and outside the church. We give money. We do things for people. But there's that time every so often to our meeting a need will interrupt a spiritual lesson for somebody. And sometimes I say, let's just hold off right now. And I'm thankful that a lot of folks don't make me explain it, because I can't always tell you what I know if I'm working or counseling or dealing with somebody. But I've realized that, listen, if we save the day now, they're going to be in the same place 2 weeks from now. They need to figure out how they can get this resolved without somebody rescuing them all the time. And sometimes giving somebody the money to take care of something is not always the wise thing. Even though our heart says do it, if we want the best for them, sometimes we need to say, listen, you know, we've all been there. We've all suffered. We've all gone through trials. I remember when I had my first tumor removed back in 1982, and I couldn't work, and we lived on cheese, and we lived on, you know, the free cheese from the Lutheran church, and I don't know, you do that for about a week, you know, seriously, that'll mess you up, and and you have all that, and I remember my dad and my brothers, they would say, hey, yeah, we'll just keep praying for you, and they waited, and they waited. They didn't help, they just knew that we needed to see this through. It was a learning lesson for me and my kids, and it was a healthy lesson. It prepared me for what I went through later on in life. Some of the gift of service, though, will be quick to say, listen, here's a need, let's fix it, and they may interfere sometimes with somebody else's spiritual lesson. Keep that in mind. Very important. Number 9, last of all on this list here, may be frustrated by others doing things a different way. Ever meet somebody that says, this is the way we do it, we're going to do it this way? See, gift of service has a mental map of how things are designed to be done. Somebody with the gift of service, if they're in an organization and they're involved in doing all the material things and the physical things, they have a map in their mind, and sometimes have a map laid out. They have a structure to things. Somebody with the gift of exhortation, to me, if the chairs, I came in today and the chairs were in a circle, I would say, hey, that's a neat idea. I always have an I don't care attitude. It's to me, it's about getting things done, not the preciseness of it. And somebody that gets a service, if they're in leadership sometimes, they may be in a situation to where it's got to be done my way. If you're going to be a good leader, learn how to delegate and learn how to let other folks do it. And even if they do it different than you, be thankful they're doing it. And by the way, I have found this, is that your way is not always the perfect way. And be thankful that you got a place to go and do and enjoy. But they may be frustrated by others doing things in a different way. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't name names, okay? Okay, so, and by the way, you know what's fun about this series? Because I first did this 25 years ago. And fortunately, I was able to find my notes from 25 years ago, because when we decided to do this, I said, I got to recreate all this, and I got to go back in. So I've been very thankful that I found my notes and stuff. And I'm not a person that keeps files, and we had a flood that lost most of my stuff. But we had this, and I've learned one thing through this series. I've done this probably 3 or 4 times here and other places. Is people, when you mention the misunderstandings of character, everybody thinks of somebody they know. They're analyzing themselves, but you know, most people that listen to any lecture or speaker or motivation speaker, they listen to about 60% for themselves, but there's also that 40% they listen and they identify somebody else. That's the nature of things. The thing about that is, already, when you begin to think about that person that may have get this gift, and you think about how that you may have been frustrated with them, you're beginning to tone down a little bit, because I get it. This is how they approach things. It's okay. And as we share these principles with other people, I think it's helpful. Let me give you real quick here what it is in the spirit and then what it is in the flesh. And as I said, the spirit doesn't mean any kind of super mystical thing. Best way I can put it is that when you really want to do God's work, whether it's in church or God's work in society, in secular, you really just want to make a difference. You want to follow God's directions. You want to know you're doing it for the right motives. The flesh is basically doing things for yourself to be seen, or fleshly or carnal reasons or egotistical reasons. That's where the two divides. In the spirit, they have alertness. In the spirit, they're hospitable, very helpful to other people. They're generous in the spirit. They're flexible in the spirit. They're available, and they have endurance. And somebody with the gift of service, this identifies kind of who they are. They endure, they're available, they're flexible, they're just warm and friendly and warm and ready to help and love doing it, and a smile on their face while they're doing it. When they're in the flesh, they can turn that around. They can go from being alert to being apathetic. They can be lonely. They can be self-pitying. They can have resistance. And at times, they can feel like quitting. In fact, if you're a leader or somebody who's serving in an organization, gift of service, is sometimes when they just finally, we all go through that time of pity parties. Everybody does, okay? I go through that. I won't talk about it. My wife will tell you enough times. But in all reality, is that's when another leader needs to come along and say, listen, it's okay. Come alongside. Some of the gift of service is, I've seen in churches, they will be a person that when they get frustrated and when they get apathetic, they will begin to sit out. We won't see them for a while. And the reason why is because they went through some of these emotional things, and they just need somebody to come alongside and encourage them. But this is what it is when they walk in the flesh. Let me give you the walk away, the closing remark before we close out here, is the gift of service can be the backbone of any church, any organization, as they usually make others look good in what they do. And that's the truth of it. Prophecy is its own different camp there, and those with the gift of prophecy are vital to the message of what we carry out. But the gift of service is vital to this church, any church, any organization, because they do the things that make us look good. I have been blessed to be able to be in leadership in a number of organizations, and I've never taken for granted those folks who basically prepare everything before I even get there, knowing that they get their total satisfaction on prepping and carrying out the work so that others can shine. And if you got folks around you like that, you don't need to always publicly acknowledge them by name, but you need to let them know what you're doing is so effective to make what I do so essential. And when you do that, it helps them to feel like they're making a difference. So you may have the gift of service. You may have the gift of prophecy, and we'll move on to the next one next week. Begin to identify these things. There are surveys you can take online, and we may provide those at the end of this where you can do it. I've never been the biggest fan. Tony has done these in Bible studies. I've never been a biggest fan in some of those online things because I think that, you know, what did they do before we had Google, you know? Seriously? I read from an iPad today, okay? What did they do before they had all of this? They had to identify their gifts without all this others. And I believe when some human person makes up these different things, what happens is it's just that. And what I'm sharing here, there's a lot of conjecture in this and my opinions in this. This comes from research. And this everything about a gift of service you have may not be exactly what I said here. But here's the thing. When you get all done, you've got so much to think about. Then you can sit down, evaluate your life, just like you do with your talents and abilities. What am I good at, and what am I not good at? Some years ago, I realized one thing that I'm not good at. There's two parts of my body that are non-essential, right here. I cannot fix things, my hands. And there are some things I can do, but I've learned a long time ago, I cannot fix a car. I changed light bulbs this week. I was so proud of myself. I took that in college. I got 3 credit hours for it. But I realized what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. You can be able to evaluate your talents and your abilities, and you ought to be able to evaluate your spiritual gift. Because last thing I'm going to say, you are a physical person, You are an intellectual person. You are an emotional person. And what we forget so many times, you are a spiritual person. And you can't fully understand how you operate until you put those all together, okay? If you just bow your heads for just a moment here, and the praise team's going to come up, get ready to close out. Tony's going to come, give some closing announcements. I just hope this has been, obviously educational, but I hope, for me, the most joy I get when somebody learns something and they begin, the light bulb comes on, and they begin to understand themselves and others more than they ever have before. And all of a sudden, they're able to say, this is why I get in frustration with this person. This is why me and my wife argue, because her gift and my gift are not the same. Now, I will tell you, I have the gift of exhortation. My wife has the gift of giving. I can tell you that already. We've talked about this over the years. We do compliment each other quite a bit, but we also see things differently, and it's helped us to understand. If you are married here today and you've had conflict with your spouse or whatever, you may understand that you may have the gift of prophecy where your wife has the gift of service, or your wife has the gift of prophecy and you have the gift of mercy. And because that's why it's so important. If you missed last week, listen to last week. Get all of this so that you can understand. This is the help I can give you. You can understand each other where you're coming from, because you don't approach the same things the same way. And you think sometimes it's just because of personality conflict or you're not getting, it's because you don't understand what motivates you to be here at Cornerstone this morning and what's driving you to do the work that you're doing. You will learn to understand the other person faster and be tolerant of them and more loving. I truly believe that. I hope this has been helpful. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Bless the end of the service and all our day long. We thank you for those who are here. Watch over our friends and family that are traveling, those that are sick, and those that have lost loved ones this recent week. And God, just watch over them and give them grace and mercy. We ask this in the Lord's name. Amen. Tony?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the message.